I did open mic for maybe 6 months or something. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the open micers back then were pretty insane. It was like, there were like 60-year-old homeless people in me.
Still so, a bit of that.
So you
still
like,
a bit of that going
I stood out.
In LA.
Yeah. I'm 21 years old. These guys are, you know,
they just
three
want to talk to anybody.
They died 3 years ago. Mickey was just playing the Doors music and freestyling about life on Mars and shit.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there like, this guy got a spot this week and I didn't. What's with the microphones? Who gets the old-fashioned microphone?
He gets the old because he's older.
Oh, that makes sense.
is that why?
I didn't know.
He's from the 50s.
I had no idea.
He's from the 50s and from Canada.
Yeah, that's the newest microphone they have in Canada.
That is true, friends.
Who wants free medication?
Well, welcome Rick Ingram to the Standby Podcast with JJ and Francisco. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me.
Rick is an amazing comic. He's from the Comedy Store. You can see him here basically every night, and he's amazing. It's like you do material, but also crowd work. It's a mixture of two, you know, because, you know, I think you started doing, I've seen you do more now that you do more like bits now.
I do. I try and do bits because no one on earth wants to work with anyone doing crowd work. Every television or streaming service, they all want basically a full script of what you're going to say.
Yeah, right. Cause
can
it's
you
because
write it
you don't know like if it's too safe, like you're going to say some
words.
Yeah,
they're so scared.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, every TV set needs you to basically write it out these days anyway.
When I did Last Comic Standing, they like literally had to like, and I had to like, and I'm not dirty or anything crazy, and like had to change stuff.
Yeah.
Did you go off script at all?
No,
ever?
No. I kept that to what I wanted to do. But, like, you can say, like, a brand, for example, you know?
Yeah. I had to do, I did a Comedy Central thing with Bill Burr, two or three years ago, something like that. And the All Things Comedy produced it, and they asked me, they said, we want you to do it. I'm like, cool. And then, like, a week later, they're like, so just send us a clip of the material you're going to do. And I'm like, why would you ask me to do this?
You know what I did.
So then I had to find... I had to find a clip from Comedy and Magic Club in Hermosa where they wanted me to do a show one time, and they asked me if I would do material, and I'm just like, whatever, I was trying to get in at the club. So I did it. So I found a clip. It was like 9 years old, and I sent it to them. I'm just like, this is the only thing I have. And they're like, yeah, that's great. And I'm like, so now I got to do that material? Is that what I have to do?
I think it
What's
might be
with
a formality in a way. It's such a formality that maybe they're not watching that clip. They just need to know that you jumped
That I'll do something, like, yeah.
But did you do that or did you just went
off? I did, yeah.
Oh, so you did those bits.
I did, yeah. I ended up doing the bits. And I went off script some the night of the taping just because of where my mind was going. I'm like, I'm not going to be awkward and try and figure out what I had said previously. But, yeah, and then, like, someone hit me up a couple months ago, and they're like, Eliza's doing this thing.
Oh, I did it.
You did it?
Yeah.
Yeah, and they said
I did your bits.
You're smart.
from 9 years ago, from the Comedy and Magic. I sent your...
it's not a bad plan, because I wasn't going to do it again.
Now you can go off script.
Yeah.
They said you're justified.
They, like, sent me this thing, and, you know, they'd love for you to do it, and I just sent back. I'm like, look, I'm... been doing this too long. I'm not gonna do it. There's not even a guarantee that it's for anything. So I just said, look, this is what I do. They want me to do evergreen material, and they wanted it to be material. I just said, look, the stuff I talk about is basically things that piss me off about what's happening in the world right now.
Yeah.
So like I don't have some, you know, generic bits that are like 4 years from now this is gonna be great.
Yeah.
It's like I was talking about, you know, vaccines and shit like that. And so they're just like, well, we don't know if this is right for you. I'm like, I told you, I don't think it is.
I gave you that idea. I told you.
I mentioned how this is a bad plan.
Yeah.
But then after that, then I'm like, should I have just done it? And then I'm like, fuck it. Who cares?
I mean, I think what you do, like you do it so good. Cause it's like, it's very like, I think we're talking about how he does crowd work, but like very smart. Like he's smart. Like I see him since I was working here. I mean, I just enjoy it because he's smart and respectful. I mean, he makes fun of you, but like in a respectful way because he knows some, you know, facts or something. So it's like, it's not from, like,
you're on the same side.
Yeah, it's not ignorance.
And I take shots at myself, too.
I think that's what does it. I think when a good comic like yourself, you're able to make fun of the audience because they can tell you make fun of yourself. You're not up there going, I'm awesome and you suck.
Right.
And here's why.
Like, you make fun a lot of Canadians. Comedy
I do. Yeah.
And he's Canadian.
Yeah. One thing I like to try and do is I like to try and find a communal enemy in the crowd. And then try and gang everyone else in the audience up on that one person. And Canadians are perfect for that because Canadians are traditionally very white, so it's safe. And they're the nicest human beings that ever lived.
Yeah, yeah.
And so if you start making fun of them, the Canadians are always just laughing, having a good time because they think they're better than us anyway. And then the rest of the crowd's just like,
Is that true?
But we're also very we're very Commonwealth.
So you think you're better than me?
I think the standard of living in Canada is actually better than the standard of living in America. But
there's
more of you.
They've been judging us for our atrocities against mankind for so long.
Yeah.
And only in the last year did we find out these guys were murdering indigenous people. The whole time.
That's true, yeah.
And so now I like to bring that up in the crowd, and it makes the whole crowd so uncomfortable. It's fantastic. I thrive on seeing the people just like, I don't think we can joke about this.
But. Well, you know that we canceled Canada Day this year.
Is that right?
Do you know about that? Yeah, because of the
is that like your 4th of July?
That's like our
July
4th of 1st? July, and because of the tragedies and discovering all the bodies and stuff.
Wait, what?
Mass graves.
Yeah, we discovered mass graves.
Isn't that obvious? I mean, like, those white people didn't just show up there. Like,
this was like 50
people,
years ago,
this wasn't Thanksgiving time.
But I like how you think it was just really, like, this was recent.
Yeah.
It was recent.
No, it was a couple generations ago. But the indigenous people have been going on about it for generations, and it's been kind of ignored.
That's how
so finally.
Yeah, I first found out because there's an indigenous Canadian girl that came here a couple years ago. She's like a huge comedy fan. Her and her husband came, and so I started she sent me like a nice message on Facebook, and I started talking to her to say, you know, thanks for coming. And then she started posting stuff where I'm like reading, I'm like, is this true? And I just had no idea. And she would post about it, she's like, they can't hide it forever, this is what's going on. So basically Canada set up through churches. They set up these schools where they would take indigenous children out of their communities, force them to go to these boarding schools, and try and teach the indigenous tradition out of them. So basically force them to be European.
Yeah. They did Catholic indoctrination. Catholic indoctrination, which happened all around the world. That was basically the Catholic.
I mean, that was what's happening
but
in
this
Latin
case,
America, too.
Sometimes the kids would go missing and stuff, and they'd be like, well, they must have ran
away.
It
was an ethnic cleansing.
And then
it's pretty evil all around.
So then they started finding out, like, kids were dying by the hundreds, and they were just burying them, basically. Yeah. But the living conditions they were providing them, obviously Canada gets pretty fucking cold in the winter.
Yeah.
But it would be like they were basically living in dorms that had no insulation.
Wow.
And so they started finding, like, one of the graves they found was, like, hundreds of kids or something.
Yes, there's.
And so basically,
the photos are gross. I mean, this is a great, hilarious note to start the podcast on. But yes,
I'm telling you, this is why Canadians are terrible people.
But what I wanted to say was, what we did was because of these discoveries,
you canceled a holiday for a year.
Canada Day.
Oh, really?
Which is, so Canada Day is on July the 1st.
Yeah.
Right? It's when we got our independence, like your Independence Day, which is
from the indigenous people.
Yeah,
so the great
exactly.
thing is that Canada gets to start the party 3 days before you guys have your birthday. So we always carry on through the weekend.
Which
so
I like to say Canada Day is the day the rest of the world was like, we don't want that shit. You can have a country.
See, this is how it works. See how we laugh at ourselves?
Yeah, they're so good about it.
Yeah, they laugh, but they go like, I'm still better than you.
Yeah.
I did the Canadian thing. I'm like,
that's true.
I like my joke where we continue drinking until you guys can start.
Yeah.
Because you're not as good at drinking.
So you're not that nice.
But my point is, we're extremely nice in a compensatory way because we canceled. Do you think July the 4th would ever be canceled for any kind
happened? But that's only because America has so many atrocities. We would have to cancel every holiday for at least 200 years to make up for the things we've done.
Yeah.
My point is, it's exciting that we finally have one on you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good to be like finally look as you know bad. You know, yeah. like it's always yeah. like, oh, they're the nice.
They're so nice,
kid.
And yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They also do evil shit.
They're not racist like us because they don't have other races, basically. And then...
Because they freeze them.
Yeah,
them.
They, exactly.
Hey, we're the
right.
end of the Underground Railroad. We don't know where those people went either. Though, yeah. so.
Unbelievable. Yeah, yeah. All in wow. Toronto, no doubt.
Wow. All right, so but so you're from Kansas.
I'm from Kansas.
Yeah, which is also the Canada of the U.S.
I mean, I don't even think we're the Canada of the U.S.
I have Kansas questions.
Yeah.
I wanted to just... Tie
to get in there? How yeah. dare you insult me like that?
But
we're Oklahoma's Canada.
So I've only been to Kansas once.
Okay. What were the circumstances?
I opened for Jim Jeffries okay. on tour, and we did Kansas. But you're two states in one city?
Yeah, I'm from Kansas City.
How does that happen?
Well, what happened was it was a when Kansas City was formed, they were territories. They weren't states at that point.
Okay.
And all so right. the city was built on a river because that's where you built cities.
Yeah,
back in the day because yeah. you needed a water supply.
The shit's got to go somewhere.
Yeah, and right. so eventually when they made them states, the city basically got split by the river. So,
okay.
The downtown Kansas City is in Missouri. So most people, when they think of Kansas City, they think of Kansas because the name Kansas is in the title. But the actual downtown is in Missouri. And then Kansas City, Kansas is basically industrial. Mm. It's like... factories and warehouses
so where are you from?
I'm from the Kansas side in the suburbs.
Okay. Is there anywhere else in America where that happens, or is that pretty unique to?
I think it's probably fairly unique in terms of a major city being split like that.
Yeah,
like I know Minneapolis and St. Paul
and
are basically
Paul, right.
one city split yeah. by a river, but
still the same state. Right?
Yeah, they're both in yeah. Minnesota. So,
right.
So you're from Kansas, and then so like. What's your first big move or traveling to because of comedy? Like,
must have been to come here, right?
Like, did you go from to LA or did you go someplace else? And why did you choose LA? Like, you could have chosen New York or something else.
When I graduated high school, I did the ultimate white privilege move, and I decided to go to film school. And
nice.
No,
where
I went to first, I went to film school in Santa Fe, New Mexico, this little art college, and. I went, and it was a good experience in terms of I just needed to get out of Kansas.
Yeah,
I'm very atheist, and
he's atheist too.
Nice. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know why I was so surprised.
This is what I always try to talk to him about because he gets very excited about it. Like, yeah. like, and I'm like. Because you're not that religious,
yeah.
dude. You've just
I mean, I pray.
Listen, he's from South America. He has to be kind
yes,
of religious.
I know, it's a rule.
His family would disown him
yeah,
if he was like, I don't believe in that shit at all.
I could do everything, but if I start saying that, I don't believe in Jesus.
Because
yeah.
I tried to tell him, like, because it's weird to be defined as atheist, because I don't go shouting that. I wasn't raised on religion, so I've never really found that to be an important
thing. I refer to myself now as a non-practicing atheist.
There you go.
Because I spent a lot of years from the time I was, like, 14 to 25, like, really trying to convince people that, there is nothing.
Can you try to convince me?
I mean, at this point, you know.
I've seen your behavior. You know.
No, but what is it?
It's exactly right.
No, but what's the biggest thing that you go like, there's nothing here?
My argument was always the amount of people who've been murdered and killed because of
religion.
God
yeah.
is the only proof I need to know that it's all bullshit.
Yeah.
And I'm at the point now in life where I honestly have no idea. There might be some sort of a creator or supreme being or something, but I don't believe for a second that anyone on this planet has ever come close to understanding what that is.
Yeah, yeah. And also, if there was consequences to this, then this person,
real
whatever,
piece of shit.
A real prick.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
you don't keep these things secret.
Well, and it's like...
And if if I did something and I wasn't aware that it would offend you or anything, you would tell me, and then I would go, oh, sorry, I had no idea.
Sorry, there it was. The ultimate Canadian.
There it is.
Yeah.
I kill indigenous people.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, I mean, it's just one of those things where no one's ever gotten it right, so.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, that's why I say non-practicing now, because I'm willing to admit, I don't know.
Yeah.
There might be something, there might not be something, but there's definitely not – anyone preaching the truth,
right,
in terms of religions on this planet. So,
yeah. No, yeah.
But you don't
want to
be
that.
An agnostic, because that's the
no one wants
like.
To be that.
Which one is that one?
Agnostic.
That's, I don't know.
I don't know.
We'll see.
It's basically you're basically just a douchey atheist. That's what an agnostic yeah. is. It's okay. just like. Well, you know, we'll find out someday. Okay. And you're like, all right.
Okay, so my question is, like, if you're in a plane flying and you're going down,
mm-hmm.
do you pray? Because this is a point to where you go, like, that's where a lot of people become
yeah.
believers. You
not,
know, like, the plane's going down. Like,
right.
Not for please. A second.
Yeah, no.
I would spend
I'd
those.
I'd want to talk to somebody. I'd want to.
No,
I'd
you can't. I mean,
real.
I'm talking about you by yourself. You're by yourself.
You're flying a plane.
A lot of people on, this is another morbid point, but on 9/11, they called home and
yeah
stuff.
Okay but I'm not you can't call home during the flight there's no signal
he's no, listen oh, he's setting okay. it up you can't call home
right, okay.
I can't call my family
you're left alone with your thoughts
yeah
that's right
you're left,
you're left
I mean
alone
there's
with
other
your
people
last
there,
2 minutes
there would be no praying I would literally spend my final moments just thinking about the best times I had living
okay which is kind of praying
not really.
Yeah, no, that's your crow buying that definition.
Yeah. I wouldn't be going, you know, forgive me for
all
the things I've done.
Like, you're not an atheist. You're just a religious man who thinks differently than me.
Yeah, I would just be, you know, think about my kids, my friends, things yeah. I did in my life that I liked. But yeah. I definitely wouldn't be like, got to get some last words in so I can get into heaven.
Yeah, yeah.
Because
oh, no,
I'm clearly not getting
I,
in.
I guess I'm not thinking. I would not pray like that, but I would just be like more pray. Because I think.
Do you pray?
No, I would pray, but more like to pray for my family.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm not praying to try to get into heaven.
I
never even think about
that. Can we
quickly
go that. Back to this point, though? Like, do you pray? Do you?
Oh, yeah,
every
I pray.
Night, so every night before you do like what they do in television in the movies? Like, you sit down with a
no,
like, put your knees
no,
on the
no, I do it like.
Put your hands
you pray when you feel it.
Yeah,
when you
I'm
need
in,
it.
Taking
okay.
a shower or when I think
yeah,
of something.
You know,
yeah,
you know, because God's not busy.
Always when you're naked. Smart. There was a comic here named Jim Painter. He was before your time, I think. But this dude was one of the funniest people I've ever met and one of the most insanely depraved human beings. All of his bits were like the type of stuff where you're like, this dude should be in jail.
Right.
But he was very funny and he was very authentically bizarre. And we went to La Jolla together and he went to Tijuana while we were down there. And then he came back with some crazy story about a whorehouse and whatever it was. And I'm just like, I'm listening. It's like, okay. So he's telling me, and I was maybe a year in at the Comedy Store at that point, and so I'm like starting to know people. I'm starting to find out, you know, a lot of these people are yeah. fucking terrible human beings that I've become friends with. And so I'm just like, all right, man, that doesn't surprise me knowing what I know about you. And then at the end of the night, we were going to bed, we're in the condo, and he got down on his knees and prayed at the bed. And I'm like looking over at him like... I go, what are you doing, man?
Yeah, yeah. He was like, I'm praying.
I go, why on earth are you praying?
I need to be forgiven for my sins.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, dude, that's the craziest shit
yeah,
I've
that's
ever
nuts.
Heard.
To me, that's nuts.
That's,
yeah, that's. I don't believe in that, too. Like, where,
but
like,
I feel that
where
way
people
about
go
him.
Like, yeah, you kill somebody
yeah.
in the name of any religion. That's bullshit.
Yeah.
You're still killing somebody.
Yeah, I mean, I had people growing up in Kansas tell me that Gandhi is in hell, and if Hitler asked for forgiveness from Jesus before he died, then he's going to heaven.
That's,
I just remember being like, wow. You're out of your
yeah,
fucking mind.
Yeah, you're fucking
mind.
Out of your mind. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, the rules that you are believing in don't make
that,
sense.
That's the thing.
I
it's
find
like, morally.
This a lot in America, though. I find that people are very – this America's more religious than, like, the places
oh,
that invented
it's
religion.
It's
like, I lived in Britain for 15 years, and they are not – most of
not
their
here.
Churches
well,
are
that's
bars
why they
now.
Moved here. That
yeah. Most
more,
most of Britain's churches are – bars
yeah, yeah
now
yeah. my wife's Israeli and she's constantly just like I can't believe how
yeah.
fucking religious you
like,
guys
I
are
was
here
dating,
it's
when
great.
I first
it's
moved
religion,
here
yeah.
I was dating a woman who was like swearing like a trucker and she's a bit of a party animal and stuff and then she's going back to Boston for a Christmas or something at one point and she's just talking with me over drinks she goes yeah and I can't wait to see my pastor and I was like you're what now
yeah.
and she
yeah,
goes oh yeah,
yeah.
yeah I gotta go to church and go see the pastor I'm like You're
so weird.
Well, what's here?
Oh,
like
yes,
I think
I'm,
what
I'm very religious. I'm like I've known you
I'm
for a couple
sure,
of months
yeah.
now. You do not seem religious.
Yeah.
To
well,
me.
Here I think what I notice is a big difference. I mean, from Venezuela to here, or like is that here, like religion is like very. It's like everything that you do involves, like your life involves the religion. Like it's all about, like you said, like I'm gonna meet with my pastor. I'm gonna do the play bing. I'm like. In Venezuela, it's like, you just got a church, and that's it.
Right.
Like, I don't know the priest. I don't know anything. You
yeah.
do the thing, and that's it.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's not you're not involved, unless that's your thing, but most people are not involved in the whole, like your religion, like your life is not led by religion. And I don't like that. To me, it's like, you got to live your life however you want to live it.
Sometimes I feel like
it's
just about family.
Yeah. So
yeah, I mean, we would go to church a couple times a year at basically the request of grandparents.
Yeah.
Right. So my family's just like, yeah, we'll go. And then I had to do all this stupid shit, first communion, all that stuff.
Yeah.
And then we would go Easter and like grandparents' birthday. Mm-hmm. Those were basically the times of year that I would have to go.
Funeral.
Yeah.
And then
and like every once, but I know like my grandma, like she would go to the Catholic Church.
And the rosary.
And she would do she'd do all the prayers, and she'd meet with the priest a couple times a week, and she'd go, I have to go light a candle for Saint whatever, and I'd just be like, all right, whatever.
Yeah.
But you know, I'm not going to try and convince my grandma that.
Of course, at that point.
Listen,
like,
just so you know, grandma, this shit, it's a little wacky. But like, I don't understand now how anyone can, knowing what everyone knows, I don't know how people can still give money to the Catholic Church.
Yeah.
If that's what you believe in and it comforts you in any way, then do it. Go to church. But how you give money to a place that's like literally spent billions of dollars paying off abused children.
Yeah.
It's like, so you're giving them 10 grand a year because they want 15% of whatever you earn or whatever the
and also and it's only because you're giving it so you can, you know, forgive your sins.
Yeah, feel good.
Feel good and to feel like, which is, it's BS at the end of the way because it's like you're paying, so you're bribing yourself to go to heaven. That's like literally one of the things that Jesus, you know.
That's how Christianity started, was the Catholic Church in medieval times literally got to the point where they're like, you can
buy your
salvation. And so then Martin Luther or whatever was like, this doesn't make sense. You shouldn't be able to murder and have orgies and do all that shit.
And then that costs this much.
Yeah. And you're like, oh, so now I'm in the clear?
Yeah.
But
I got $50 in my bank. What can we get up to?
What can I get away with?
Well, one thing, I read this book, just to finish this part of the subject, but like I read this book called Sapiens. And like the whole thing about like humans and difference between animals is that humans can actually imagine stuff and make people believe stuff. Like you cannot tell like a dog and be like, hey, don't eat that and you're going to go to heaven. Like a dog's like, no, I'm just eating.
I'm going to eat. If it smells good, I'll eat it.
Yes. Yeah. But like, so
consciousness
humans,
is.
Yeah. So a human started doing that in order to control people.
Yeah.
So you start controlling people.
That's 100%.
You do this, you don't go to, and that's the only.
Wait a minute. You're explaining why you shouldn't be religious.
Well, no, I'm reading that book and I'm going like,
that makes sense to me.
Come to our side.
But to me, I'm like, I'm still.
We're not leaving until you admit that everything you believe is a lie, Francisco.
You're actually arguing against it right now. So.
No, I'm arguing for you because I understand too. Like, that's why, like, religion to me is more like just be a good person.
Yeah.
And if you want to pray, like I use prayer,
I call
like
that
meditation.
Yeah.
And do that stuff. But like not when you start, doing bullshit stuff in the name of religion. To me, that's like, that's bullshit.
Yeah. There's things about it that I will never understand. Like the Catholic Church, the child molesting thing has always been a big thing for me. And I think it is for a lot of people.
Yeah. Me too.
Just that they're the world's largest pedophile group.
By the way,
I was an
altar boy. I never got touched.
I had to do it once or twice too, and no one ever. You know, you're a better looking guy than me, so it's a little more shocking.
Do you have a body odor?
I would wear shorts.
Well, reason. You're a cutie.
Yeah.
No. I didn't get touched.
The dimples alone, you'd think.
Like, I would be. You know what? If there was any reason to leave the church, I would. That disappointment right there. I think
one thing that I find disturbing is, there's so many stories about priests who get caught doing stuff, and the Catholic Church just would transfer them to a different city. So it's like you get caught molesting kids in St. Louis, and then they go, look, you can't do that. This is messed up.
Yeah.
You're a priest in Indianapolis now. And you're like, wait, that's the punishment? You just move them to a different shitty city? The priest at my church growing up got kicked out of the Catholic Church. And my brother sent me a thing that was like, look, Father George got excommunicated. I'm like, holy shit. And so I click on the article because I'm like, what did this dude do? And he got kicked out of the church for having a consensual relationship with an adult female. Mm. And the Catholic Church was like,
no.
Disgusting.
But with boys,
you're out of here.
Fine. Yeah.
Gross.
That's messed up. Yeah.
Yeah. So I there's just so much about it. I'm just like,
Some things
it's toxic. And
yeah, I mean, there's a lot of stuff.
And obviously, the other religions are toxic too. I'm not saying it's just Christianity.
Religion is responsible for all the fighting and yeah. misleadings yeah. of the world.
So you were.
So we moved to New Mexico. I go to New Mexico.
We'll get
this back on track. So we go to New Mexico for film school.
Yep, I was there. It was a real small school, and
was that a huge move for you, or was that because we always like to ask our guests, like, because for a lot of our guests, like the big move is usually to New York City or a London.
Right.
Or Los Angeles, but that for you, were you intimidated at all? Or from what you told us, were you like, I can't fucking wait to get out of
I was so excited to leave. Like, I had no idea where I was going to go. You know, I didn't have a really strong urge to go to college, but that's what you do. I was an okay student, and so I'm like, I guess you go. And this college literally showed up at my high school, and they're like, we saw on your PSAT that you said you're interested in cinematography, and... we have a great film school with a working studio on campus. So, you know, people right now are working. They're working on some Matt Damon movie called All the Pretty Horses that was being filmed in that area. And so I'm just like, okay. So I went to the prospective student weekend, stayed with a student there, and it seemed cool. That, you know, they showed me the studio and stuff. I'm like, all right, this could be all right. And I went down there and... They didn't have anything. They weren't filming anything that year I was there. So, like, the only thing that filmed on in the studio was a Macho Man Slim Jim commercial.
Oh, nice.
And so I'm like
an actual commercial?
They're, like, filming an actual beef jerky.
Step into a Slim Jim. Yeah. I remember that.
Yeah, so I'm like, well, that's kind of cool, but I'm a freshman, so I don't get to work on it. It's like juniors and seniors who that's their senior year project is getting to be the gaffer on.
Oh, yeah, snap into a Slim Jim.
All right, let's take it from the top.
Yeah, one more time. and so I didn't last there longer than a year. And then I was just like, this is kind of fucked up. And there was a lot of it was a lot of rich kids and a lot of really weird kids. And we shared a campus with the Native American Institute of Arts, which was just there was probably maybe a couple hundred indigenous people who were like an art school, basically. And they sold heroin to the rich white kids. And so it's like it was like one of those things where I'm like, oh, this is weird. I never knew a heroin addict before.
Wait, the indigenous people would sell it to?
They were selling the heroin to the rich white kids.
Yeah.
And so, like, I walked into the bathroom in the dorms one day, and there was just a dude on the floor in the bathroom with needles still in his arm.
Shit.
So I'm like, is he dead? And, like, I was straight edge in high school, so I never partied or anything. I'm just like, I wake the dude up, and he's like, oh, I'm just so sick. I'm like, yeah, man, there's still a needle in your arm.
Oh, yeah.
I might be straight edge, but I'm not fucking blind and stupid. I know what that is.
Yeah, I could tell. I don't think you shoot up insulin that way, so... I transferred out after that year, and then, like, now I know all these people. Like, Annie Letterman went to that college.
Oh, really?
Ryan Mervis went to that college. And so it's like, it's a bunch of people. I still have friends from going there, but the college was so fucked up and ridiculous that it's the only time I've ever heard of this in my life. The college actually shut down.
Oh, wow. All
right.
Like, at a certain point, like 10 years ago, they were like, yeah, we're closed. It's like, what?
So was that bullshit college? Like, the ones that, like, because, you know, like, they have here,
sounded
like, in
just,
LA.
It was just a shit.
You know
shit
how
college.
In LA here they have, like, the New York
Columbia,
Film,
yeah,
Academy.
Film Academy, yeah.
Like, that one's just, like, basically, that's all just to get people from the international people, and they're like,
to come here and.
To give them the visa. That's pretty much it.
I would have been. I would have been better off doing that because at least those people learn anything.
Something.
Yeah,
they
learn
stuff.
Something.
Yeah, they do.
Like I never touched a camera when I was there.
Okay.
It was like,
wow.
It was basically like the people I know who I started with there that graduated ended up getting to do senior projects and make their own little short films or whatever. But the first couple years, you don't do anything. It's basically a film history.
Yeah.
So it's like I saw Citizen Kane twice.
Mm.
For different, you got to really enjoy the cinematography. This is the first time they ever did a Zoom.
So taught you to be pretentious.
Yeah, yeah.
So those first 2 years are the reason why so many fucking art pissants all around the world are all pretentious and have opinions instead of talent.
Yeah.
It's because they did the first 2 years.
The type of people who refer to movies as films, and you're just like, all right.
Yeah.
Like, the joke I used to do when I started comedy about going to film school is, like, what's the difference between people who call... what's the difference between film and movies? And the difference is how big of a douche is the guy talking about it. Because that's the only thing. It's like, oh, I saw this film this weekend about, you're like, you watch fucking Clerks. It's not it's not a film. You watched a movie about just like dudes being dudes, and it's funny, but it's not a fucking film. You watched a movie.
Yeah, I experienced it.
Yeah, like, you don't understand. It was in black and white. Okay, it's artistic. I get it. So then I left and I transferred to University of Kansas, went back to Kansas because I didn't know what else to do. And so then I went to film school there, which obviously that's where you want to be. The film scene in Lawrence, Kansas, out of this world. So I saw Citizen Kane three more times. Not joking.
Really?
I've probably seen it seven times total in film school environments. Please note the noir essence of the. You're like, okay.
Well, you know what? Actually, one time in my high school, this it was a Catholic private school, and like,
of course, it was.
But this one guy, which I thought I don't think he knew what. I think he was just like a like he showed us what's that movie with Field of Dreams, and the whole it was a religion class. It was a theology class, and the whole and he showed us. Field of Dreams, because
to
be like, hey, this is what God is. And I was like, it took like a month to watch a movie. And I'm like,
I'm okay with that, God.
Yeah. but I'm like, I think this
baseball?
Is baseball. I think that's a cop out. That's what I'm trying to say. Like, it's an easy way to like, hey, show a movie and then like for a month.
I wrote a paper the last semester I was in film school. I made it to my junior year and then I dropped out. The last semester I was in school there, I wrote a paper about how The Big Lebowski is a perfect movie.
Right.
And it was like everyone, we had to do a project, watch a movie, talk about all the different elements of cinema, whatever the bullshit is. So everyone's doing Citizen Kane, Metropolis,
Casablanca.
North by Northwest, like classic films. And some people were doing like The Godfather and like more updated. I remember someone did a pretty cool presentation on Apocalypse Now and how it relates to Heart of Darkness and stuff. But I did The Big Lebowski because I'm like, I love that movie.
That's a great movie.
I truly think there are cinematic elements of it that are perfection. The Coen brothers are amazing movie makers. And I just remember the look on my professor's face like, this is not a top quality film.
Yeah.
And we had like, some of the professors were so ridiculous. There was this guy named John Tibbetts who was the film critic of the Kansas City Star, the closest big newspaper. And he would, all of his classes were at night, which was annoying because I just wanted to get drunk and high and I didn't want to go sit for a 4-hour class. He would literally, you'd go to class and he'd show you old clips he'd do from those, like where everyone goes and interviews the stars of a movie, conference.
Junket?
Yeah, a press junket. So he'd be like, now what I'm going to show you today is an interview I did with Steven Seagal before Above the Law and one after Above the Law. And you're going to see how fame really ruins a man. And you're like, you're showing me videos of you interviewing Steven Seagal?
Also only to see Seagal's descent?
Yeah.
Not for any constructive
reason. No film.
My questions and the way I approach him and his sensitivities when I ask
him. It was just like, Seagal's a douche. And I remember watching him and being like, he was clearly a douche before Above the Law. What are you talking about? This guy didn't fall off. He was off. He was just always a terrible human.
Your teacher was using this as his last ditch effort.
Yeah.
To go, I'm good. I can present. I can present an interview.
This is how legit I am.
To show his credits.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah, he was showing, I'm legit because I've done this in the industry. And you're just like, this is bullshit, man. He ended up getting in trouble because he interrupted Pablo Francisco, who was doing comedy for Hispanic Heritage Month.
Yeah.
So we didn't know what was going on. We just kept hearing someone being loud, and he got all mad.
He's doing a special. He's doing Terminator.
Yeah,
Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, this is 2000.
Yeah,
this is like prime Pablo Francisco. And Tibbetts says, I'll be right back. And he storms out of class, and we're all just sitting there, and then 15 minutes go by, and he doesn't come back. And then 20 minutes go by, he doesn't come back. And eventually we're just like, fuck it, we're leaving.
Yeah.
Next day, in front of the paper, the school papers, like, professor embarrasses himself in front of speaker. And he, like, wandered into him in the middle of his comedy routine. He was like, you need to turn this down. I am teaching a class next door. And, we're all just like, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. That's classic.
He's
Tibbetts.
Like, I interview Steven Seagal.
Let me tell you something. I don't know who you are. He showed us an interview, too, with Daryl Hannah, the chick
from
Splash. And it was the press junket for Splash.
And he's he's just using his.
He's just showing old clips. Yeah, he's giving us his reel.
These are the people I've interviewed.
And he's like, I remember, he's like, note how I get specific with related questions to the movie. And he's like, so in this movie, you swim in a mermaid costume. Was that hard for you?
And she's nice like, question.
Well, the funny thing is, when I was growing up, my brothers used to tie my feet together and throw me in the pool. So it was actually a really natural. And I'm just like,
what?
Wow.
You didn't follow up with that? What kind of childhood did you have?
Your brothers tied your legs together and tossed you in a pool? Yeah. But really worked out in the end. She booked Splash.
It
so.
Paid off. Have they asked for a cut?
Yeah.
That's because of me, sis.
They trained you.
Wow.
So, yeah, it was pointless. And then basically when I started doing comedy while I was
at, so you were doing comedy in Kansas.
I was doing comedy in Kansas. I started maybe like 2 or 3 months after I moved back and started going to film school at KU.
And what made you decide to do it? You always wanted to do it? I was like stand-up?
I always wanted to do it. I had done it once. Summer before my senior year of high school, I went to this ridiculous leadership camp. I was like, I was the vice president of my student council in high school or whatever. Mm-hmm. So they sent us to this leadership camp in Lake Tahoe.
Yeah.
And it was like part of the reason why I wanted to be vice president. Cause I'm like, you get to go to Lake Tahoe?
Yeah,
that sounds cool. And so while I was there, it was just total bullshit. The whole week was just like ridiculous. They wouldn't let us go outside and all this stuff. And so me and a couple of the other people being good leaders, just snuck out one of the mornings and left.
Right.
And our punishment was we had to participate in the talent show at the end of the week. So I did comedy, and I literally just went up and I did like 5 minutes just talking about how shitty the camp was. And all the people are the students there are loving it, and all the counselors are literally just looking at me like, what a monster. I remember one of the counselors, this dude named Ricardo, came up to me afterward. He's like,
Ricardo.
He goes, listen, bro, he was from San Diego. He goes, I think you got a lot of potential as a leader, but let's make sure you use that shit for good, okay? I'm like,
wow.
All right. And I feel like if Ricardo.
You got him concerned at the camp.
I feel like if he saw what I did today, he would be so upset that I took the dark path with my leadership.
And yet somehow it still seems a force for good.
Yeah, well, I think
Ricardo,
so.
Ricardo, he should have understood.
Yeah, like, he didn't see the light like I did.
Unleashing the darkness from the stage.
I wonder what Ricardo is doing now.
Yeah, me too. I remember he played guitar and he was like, you should
did
get
he have
my
long
CD.
Hair? It looks like he has a long hair.
I wish he did. He didn't. He had, it was pretty short hair. He was pretty suave. He was definitely macking on some of the lady counselors, you know, which.
Right.
No harm there. I'm not.
Yeah.
I just remember being like, this motherfucker. And then when he came up and gave me the pep talk at the end of the week, I'm just like, this motherfucker.
Oh, man.
I will use my shit for evil.
You know what?
So
now that you're saying that, sometimes when I do like college shows and kids come up to me and be like, hey, how'd you get into comedy? And then I say something, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Now I'm going like, are they thinking the same way like this asshole?
Yeah,
like,
this.
Shut that fuck up.
What a motherfucker.
Just tell me how to get in.
Yeah, how do I do it?
And I'm trying to be like, hey, man, you gotta do what you love, man.
Yeah, it's all about passion. It's like, no. Someone once suggested to me that I could be an evil leader, and I was like, how do I further this?
Really?
I choose that way.
Wow. So I went back to Kansas, and a couple months after I moved back, a buddy of mine, a guy you know, John Sheezer.
Yeah. He's from Kansas.
He's also from Kansas. He used to work here at the Comedy Store. And he said to me, dude, I went and did the open mic at Stanford & Sons in Kansas City. I go, oh, really? He'd never even mentioned to me that he was interested in doing comedy. And I just go, how'd that go? He's like, I got third place. Mm. And I was like, well, I should do comedy then. And so the following
That's
week, yeah, I'm like, all right, if you can get third, I think I could maybe get maybe third at least, maybe better. And so I told him, you know, when you go back, let me know. And he's like, well, I'm going to do it next week. So then we just both started going every week. And
what'd you get?
I didn't place.
Oh.
Neither did he that week.
Oh, okay.
It was one of those things. The open mic in Kansas City was like.
Oh, so why are you placing? It's open mic. Like,
it was they would do it as a contest.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay,
so they would vote. And part of what blew me away when I moved out here was the open mic in Kansas City probably had about 100 people.
Wow.
Every open mic.
Like people participating or in the audience?
In the audience.
Oh, wow.
There was like
a show.
There was a giant crowd every week. So you'd go, and I did impressions then. So I'd go and do my impressions, and sometimes they'd love them, and sometimes they'd be like, what the fuck are you doing? I basically did like some rip-off Will Ferrell impressions. And I did like an impression of Warwick Davis, the midget from Willow.
Yeah.
And that was like my big closer was my Willow impression. And people would just look at me like, why the
did
fuck are you doing this?
Shoes on your knees?
Yeah, like, I did go to my knees.
Did it go?
Yeah.
All right.
I did it.
Ah.
Yeah. I would drop down. And,
oh, man. That's one you can't do today.
Yeah. You could do it. Listen, people want to tell you that cancel culture is ruining comedy. I'm here to tell you that it's making comedy better. If you're not offending the right people, you're not doing anything
that's
right.
True.
So,
yeah.
So I started doing it there, and then I started getting better, obviously. Your first couple years, if not more, of comedy, you're fucking terrible no matter what.
Yeah.
But it was cool. It was like, people I was doing shows with then, like Chris Porter was doing the open mics then.
Oh.
He was like, he started maybe a year before me or something like that, but he had like, he had solid bits even then.
Yeah.
Right.
And so he was one of the guys that they would put up at the end of the open mic, kind of the headliner of the open mic or whatever, give him 10 minutes instead of 3 or 4.
Right. So how did you get out of Kansas again after?
So once I turned 21, my plan was always once I was old enough to get into all the comedy clubs, I'd move to New York or L.A.
Okay. This is, so this is the big.
So that's when
so
you make
the decision.
So this is
the big move?
Yeah. And so I my last semester at KU before I was like, I'm out of here.
So you didn't graduate?
I didn't graduate, no. Okay. More or less, I never went back to class after 9/11.
Oh.
So I was like working in a restaurant a couple days a week and going to school 3 days a week. And then that happened, and I started doing more comedy, and I was just like, I basically felt like I'm wasting my fucking time. I don't care. I'm not learning anything. I still never touched a camera in all of my like 3 years
which
of film school.
Nuts.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so it was even.
It's like Karate Kid. Wasn't that in Karate Kid where Mr. Miyagi wouldn't let Daniel-san do
karate.
It's just tons of
but then he
flexing and.
Yeah.
He didn't.
Yeah, I was just waxing cars. I never got to the karate tournament.
You just waxed fucking cars for 4 semesters.
It was terrible.
And your sensei was going, I'm going to show you. And you're like, fuck this.
Yeah, I'm not waxing your car again, man.
He just worked at me, Mr. Miyagi's car wash.
Yeah, it was basically what I was doing.
Yeah.
So it was terrible. I turned 21 and then I did that last semester or half of that last semester. And then I was like, I'm going to go to New York or L.A. and do this. And
chose L.A.?
Yeah.
Why?
I went to visit over Christmas break that year. So I came to L.A. and it was like 81 degrees. And I just went, I'm not fucking even going to New York.
That's why I wound up here. Yeah. I was like, I want to be in the sunshine.
I
don't want to
be cold. If I'm going to be poor, I'm going to be poor and warm.
Yeah.
And so I moved out here. I came out for, I was here for like 5 days right before Christmas that year and stayed. A buddy of mine from the College of Santa Fe's parents lived out here, and I knew he was going to be out here for Christmas break or whatever. He was still in school at that point. So I just hit him up and I said, hey, can I stay at your parents' house? And he was really cool about it. His parents were super cool.
He wasn't there?
He was there, yeah.
Oh, okay, got it.
Yeah, he was back for Christmas break.
Got it.
And so they lived in Redondo, and so I flew out, and he picked me up at the airport, and they let me stay in the guest room at their house or whatever, and his dad was one of those guys who was like, always wants everyone to think he's got all the connections, and he said, he goes, so you do comedy? And I go, yeah, and he goes, oh, my business partner's son is a comedy manager. I should hook you guys up. And I'm like, yeah, you should. So this guy called me. Which I was like surprised. I'm like, that was like day one. He tells me that day two, this guy actually calls me. I'm like,
This is how it happens in LA. So
that's
fast.
I'm gonna be famous in no time.
His name, by the way, the guy, the father's name was Ricardo.
Yeah, it's strangely enough, most of my life involves a Ricardo. This dude called me. Just goes, hey, one of my clients works at the Comedy Store. If you want to go down there, he'll show you around. I'm just like, sweet. So who was
the client?
There's a guy named Freeze Love.
Okay.
He was a black dude who
no.
was opening for yeah yeah wow. A shocker here. This wasn't the white Freeze Love. This dude, he opened for Eddie Griffin. Like that was his thing at the time. And so I came up here. I had my girlfriend at the time with me. She came out with me. And my buddy Dave, who I was staying with, and his brother, we came up to the Comedy Store and met Freeze. And Freeze was real cool. And he was like, yo, I knew I had to show you around because I opened for Eddie Griffin. Eddie Griffin's from Kansas City. When I heard you're from Kansas City,
on.
I said, you know, this is my chance to give back.
Oh,
the guy who's
nice.
Giving back to me. And so he took me up into the belly room, showed me around. Got me on stage in the whatever the
that day
that oh, night
wow.
Yeah. In the belly room show I did like 4 or 5 minutes and yeah. It was fine. There was like 10 people there.
Yeah.
But it made you fall in love with it.
Yeah, I was sold.
Like, this is the one to
yeah.
do.
Yeah. I'm just like, this is what I'm doing. So
especially like the second day after you've been here.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, I'm here.
Yeah. So I went back home and saved up for like 7 or 8 months or something like that. And
right on.
And moved
and you
out.
And you did it on your own?
Yeah.
As well, because a lot of us need a safety net around us, and you're like, you got to do it with a group of friends or whatever, and you go to the whatever the big city or whatever.
Yeah.
Three of those friends peter off eventually, and you're
yeah.
like, I made it, but to have the desire to do it on your own is like that's
the
big step.
The only people I knew, two people, the guy whose family I stayed with when I came out for that week, he was out here living in his own apartment or living in an apartment with a roommate, and I knew his roommate too from College of Santa Fe. And so I slept on their couch for a couple weeks. And then Dave, my buddy, whose family I had stayed with, his girlfriend moved out. And she basically was not a fan of me and the other roommate because she just wanted to live with Dave. And
right.
I was looking at apartments. And for what I could afford, it was like I was going to have to live in, you know, Compton or Long Beach or somewhere.
Right, right.
In like the bad part of the bad part of town. And
yeah.
So I ended up, I found a two-bedroom that was in Manhattan Beach, and I got Dave's other roommate to move in with me because he was looking at terrible apartments as well. So then we moved into a place down there, and
right
I lived there for like 3 or 4 years.
Oh, wow.
I would drive up to the Comedy Store to work here and stuff.
And like you started working right away at the Comedy Store? Like, how did you start working here?
I did open mic for maybe 6 months or something.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the open micers back then were pretty insane. It was like, they were like 60-year-old homeless people and me.
Still
so,
a bit of that.
So you
still
like,
a bit of that going
I stood out.
In LA.
Yeah. I'm 21 years old. These guys are, you know,
they
three
just
want
to talk to anybody.
They died 3 years ago. Mickey was just playing the Doors music and freestyling about life on Mars and shit.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there like, this guy got a spot this week and I didn't. And so I did the open mic every week and then, Ren Azizi and Ari and some of the other people who were hosting the open mics then were like, you know, you're funnier than a lot of these guys.
Yeah.
If you want to work awesome. Here, we'll try and get you a job. And Eleanor actually came up to me. When I did open mic here, I went by Dick Ingram because I was clever like that.
Oh.
Yeah, right on.
And Eleanor was like, so you want to work here? I'm like, yeah, that'd be great. She's like, what's your name? I'm like, Dick Ingram. She's like, is that really your name? I'm like, well, yeah, here it is. She's like, no one calls you that, do they? I'm like, no. And so then
I'm trying to reinvent.
Yeah, I think it'd be funny because I want to be a dick on stage. So I started working the door here then, and then I got
right
passed
on.
Like 6-7 months later.
Oh, nice. But I thought you were going by Freeze Ingram.
No, at the time it was Freeze Love Ingram the second. But yeah, it was good. Working here
awesome.
Was good.
Man, we've got. So we have so many questions to get to, and I know that we're running short of time right now, but there's one simple one to fire your way right away. So we love talking about travel and everything, but this has been a great chat. I mean, I love talking to you. It can go anywhere, can it? But we want to know, we love asking our guests, like, do you have any superstitions when you're traveling on the road, when you're doing road gigs? Do you have a superstitious shirt?
Or
do
you bring
a
sentimental value with you or something that you're like...
There's something you need when you go on the road, or do you just sort of like fuck it?
No, I don't. Yeah, I don't believe in anything really. So,
right.
Not to sound like a nihilist, because
lucky stage
I
shirt, no lucky stage
no.
shirts, no nothing.
I mean, I wear I only wear just plain t-shirts.
Yeah.
On stage, that's basically my look. I'll wear a jean jacket maybe, but I don't have any sort of superstition. I don't bring anything specific.
Yeah.
Like people will be talking before my sets, and they'll be like, "You know what? I'm gonna let you get ready." I'm like, I don't need to get ready. I don't give a shit. I don't even know what I'm gonna talk about.
That's brilliant.
What happens happens. So
yeah. All right, and we have another question that I think I heard you mention that you were in England.
Yeah.
Recently, you've gone over to England.
I went there a couple years ago.
So we do like to ask where your favorite destinations are, but of course my career started in Britain, so I would love to hear how you felt about my adopted country.
I was there for a week, and it was...
How did it go? Because obviously, like, in terms of what you do, because you're not, you know, you're doing crowd work as well.
Oh, I didn't do comedy when I was over there.
Oh, you didn't
do comedy. Yeah, I went over there for basically like a late honeymoon.
Okay.
I went to Israel for a week for my sister-in-law's wedding, and then my wife and I went to London after that, because she grew up, she went to elementary school in London. So, like, that's her favorite city in the world. So she wanted to show me, and I'd never left the country prior to that trip. So, we went to London, and I thought a lot of it was cool. We were there.
Were you one of those Americans that didn't have a passport?
I didn't.
Everybody made fun of in the early 2000s.
Yeah, I didn't have a passport until maybe 2012, something like that.
Wow.
Yeah, it'd been a long journey of being like, why do I need to leave?
Yeah.
And then the Mayan calendar year rolls around. You're like, I might need a passport because the world's going to end this year.
I went to Israel first, and they were in the middle of a war with the Palestinians at the time. So
aren't they all in the middle?
No, this was one where they were canceling flights into the country because there were so many rockets and things going on. So our flight got delayed several days before we could actually go, and but it was cool. I thought, you know, it's a cool city. There's a lot of history and all that shit. Or a cool country. So I thought it was interesting. Not being religious, a lot of the allure of Jerusalem and stuff, I'm just like, so crazy to think so much hate started in this city. And it's not even that cool of a city, but everyone claims it because it was this is where our hate group started, goddammit.
That's the way to start the set.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, when you're doing it, you're Jerusalem.
Think of all
this hate that started here. And this city sucks. Anyways,
so
my name
many
is Rick
people
Kinger.
Died for fantasy in this
you guys,
fair
you,
city.
You could have done sports.
Yeah. Just so many better cities. So then I went to England, and we were there. The first couple days, it was all right. And then there was a heat wave. Mm-hmm. And I guess London is
England.
I guess London is like Seattle in that. You very rarely, it very rarely gets above 90.
And then there's everybody
about,
guts out.
It's about 2 weeks of summer, and everybody drops everything.
Yeah.
You're done. No work's getting
done. It was one of the days, it was 100 degrees. There's no air condition anywhere because they never need it.
Yeah.
And so I'm just sweating my balls off. The fucking hotel's not air conditioned. we basically would just go to parks during the day because it was like there's a slight breeze at least.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm looking
the
around.
English way. I always say I lived in England for 15 years, and I had one pair of shorts for the occasional use at a gym. And now
when
I've been in L.A., and I've got, like, seven pairs of shorts. Like, it's just I'm going shorts crazy here.
Yeah.
Can't get enough.
You got to have them. Otherwise, you're just living in Los Angeles with sweaty balls all the time.
Very true, yeah.
I thought it was a very interesting experience. I wasn't blown away by it. I wasn't like, oh, man, I want to live in England.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's interesting. I like seeing different cultures. And London is weird because it's not British at all. It's like such an international city. I always joke, I met people from everywhere in the world except for England while I was there.
Right.
Because it's so many foreigners.
Yeah.
Like
it's like New York.
It's even more so than New York, though. It's like the whole world is London's Mexico. Like all the jobs that no one wants, which is most of the jobs in London, are done by someone from somewhere else in the world.
Yeah.
Lithuanians. And
we found ourselves talking about this on the podcast the other day with Matt Kirshen, who's a British, formerly British-based, now LA-based. But remember how you were saying he doesn't know why, but all the international gigs are booked out of London as well. All the promoters and everything, everywhere, if you want to do Australia, and generally it comes out of London.
Yeah.
And but Matt's general opinion was that he doesn't know how it evolved that way, but it just has. London just became this beacon.
And was there anything like that you picked from Israel or England or London when you were there that you were like, oh, this is something that would be cool to be done in the U.S. or to bring back, or if people are
there? No. No, I didn't. It was, you know, I'm 100% aware of how terrible America is and how terrible Americans are.
Okay, let's reword it then. What is one fucking thing that you wish Americans would stop fucking doing? How about that? How about if we word it that way?
I wish, my biggest wish would be that I could go back in time and convince Abraham Lincoln that we don't need to fight a war to keep the South a part of our country.
Oh, thank God you went that direction.
I would love if we would have.
It would have been two countries.
Yeah. I think that's still a good plan. At this point, I think we need to be like four countries.
I'm with
probably,
you on that sometimes. And somebody's like, we're leaving.
Well, the
I'm
U.S.,
like, right,
I mean,
leave.
It's like literally like if Europe wasn't broken up.
Yeah.
In a way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It
like
is.
The thing is like the U.S. just kept together.
You already,
but it's like it's a lot of.
You already have to juggle like different tax brackets and different laws.
Yeah.
Really.
It
and,
is. Every state has their own thing.
In every state. So
I feel like the South should be its own country. The Texas and the South should be one country.
Just have your open carry.
Yeah.
Your guns,
do whatever you want to do. I feel like California, Oregon, Washington should be its own country.
Mm-hmm.
You put the Midwest, including like the Northern Rockies, give them their own country. And then you have the Northeast as their own country.
Yeah.
But I'm with you on that.
I just feel like we've grown to be too far apart in what our beliefs are regionally to where it doesn't make sense at this point to pretend like we're one nation, undivided. It's like we are divided.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I spend so much time just raging about how stupid a good portion of this country is.
Right.
Even with stuff like with the vaccines and all that now, it's like every time they're like, well, you know, 70% of the state is still unvaccinated. I'm like, good.
Yeah.
Let them fucking be unvaccinated. They shouldn't be allowed to come where I am.
And then you find out the greatest deal,
well,
the tax dollars coming out of California.
Well, to me, that's always like
all the rest of the country. That's what I like about the European Union, in that you're traveling from country to country. You can get a European passport.
Yeah.
But you know that their rules and their.
Of course. Even the language. But like here, that's what I always like with this whole vaccine and pandemic stuff. To me, it's like, it is crazy to me, like every state has their different laws and like basically like their own little country.
Yeah.
But then you can travel to another state like nothing.
Yeah.
And then it's like, so then if somebody, like here in California, for example, everybody was trying to, you know, be more with like, you know, keeping in their
locked
house
down
and being
and
and then somebody from Texas can just drive to LA and then he could be infected or she can be infected. And then, so it's like, that's doesn't make sense. You know, it's just like,
I agree.
If you're going to do the laws, then it should be, then every state should have their, you know, I was going to say their idea, they do. But like, but it should have mean something more, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, you shouldn't be able to fly from Florida to LA without being tested and whatever it is.
Yeah,
it's just like, okay. But that would be my main thing. It's just, I honestly don't feel like America needs to be one country.
I you know what, I feel that fits under the umbrella of like, let's import the culture of having different different countries, like the European
Union. Well, I mean,
Union,
if you think, what's the Olympics? Even Russia broke into all these other countries too, and like even
the fucking Soviets.
So you know, and like,
yeah,
I mean, I guess China's the only one that's like, you know, but every, I mean, every, you know, every country that's big has been. Oh yeah, you got.
Yeah.
How many? You got many? You got?
I don't know. It's just
yeah. Of course, you got the Czech Republic now. Yeah.
What time do you got?
We used to have Czechoslovakia.
I think my set's now at 9:30 because
oh, it's at
9:30. People canceled. So.
Oh, okay,
all
right.
But so it's all good. So if we have more questions,
no,
it's fine.
No. I mean, we do, but like, no. Let's just we'll hopefully get back to do it again.
That's a great answer, and yeah, I think that gives us a lot to think of. Like, so because all those European countries that divide too, but they're still in the Union. I don't know what's going to happen with Britain, but I find that really interesting. No, we're happy to wrap it up.
Yeah, let's wrap it up, and then hopefully you can come back, and then we can finish all the other questions. Because
I got so much more hate to give.
Yeah,
guys.
Please check out Rick's podcast here.
Yeah,
at
what's
the
name
store.
Of the podcast?
I have two podcasts. I do them both here at the Comedy Store. One is the Comedy Store podcast, which I've done for a long time with Eleanor Kerrigan, and now I do a podcast called Rick Ingram Talks to Strangers, where I literally bring in people that want to be interviewed off of social media, and Sarah Tiana produces it and co-hosts with me some, and basically she just reaches out, says, you know, who thinks you're interesting and should be interviewed, and
nice.
People reach out, and so far it's been great. Like,
that's awesome.
Awesome.
People who you know, have stories at least,
yeah.
Or like going through something maybe, but they're it's interesting. I you know, I kind of fuck with them, and
of course, I mean, they know what they're getting for, but also it's a cool for them, it's a good way to also share their story, and maybe somebody can learn from it, you know, something, you know, which is cool.
That's really cool. Same network as us, everybody. So everybody watching, listening, you know,
check it all out.
And before we go, let's have that little last quick question.
We've got our one final question that we always ask our guests on the way out the door is, do you have one final piece of travel advice that you like to hand down to people for running to catch a flight?
I mean, it could be just either. It could be in the U.S. too, just traveling. You know, it don't have to be international.
Yeah.
I guess for me, the thing with traveling is always just don't feel like you have to plan everything you're going to do.
Mm.
A lot of people I know are real.
I'm going
to do this.
Day,
I'm going to be that. Like, just be open to experiencing what you're going to experience.
That's great.
I think we talked about that when you were going to Europe, didn't we? Because you were like, because there was like, we could try to do a lot,
also,
or I could just try to do this.
Yeah, I had just a couple of things, but then a lot of time to be like, hey,
yeah.
If I want to go to this place, or if I want to stay in this
restaurant
for 5 hours, I don't have to like do this.
Yeah.
If you try to do too much, it all sucks.
Yeah. Yeah. And any time I've ever had such a strict agenda to follow, I always just end up feeling rushed and not enjoying it.
Yes.
So it's, you know, you got to
enjoy the moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I took my family on our first family vacation this last summer. We drove to Colorado to see my family from Kansas, who was going out there as well. And, you know, there's bumps along the way. We were driving back. We went out there, stayed for a week. It was awesome. Everything was working great. Started driving back, and there was mudslides and the interstate closed.
Yeah.
We had to do like a 6-hour detour on these like terrifying mountain roads to keep going. And it was, at first, I'm just like, this sucks. And, you know, my wife is freaking out, and she hates heights, and I'm, like, driving up these terrifying cliffs and canyons. And then we get through it, and, you know, like I said, it added 6 hours to the trip, so that sucks. But then it's like, that's cool. I'm never gonna take that route again.
You never see that route.
So,
it's
you know, I experienced something cool. I saw things I won't ever see again because I don't want to see them again. But it was cool. You know, I went through a bunch of little towns where I'm like, oh, it's a weird fucking town.
Yeah.
And I got back and I'm looking it up and I'm like, it's got cool history.
Uh-huh.
There's a town called Leadville that I'm driving through. I'm like, how bad does this town suck? And then I find out at one point in like the 1860s or something, it was the second biggest city in Colorado.
Oh, wow. Oh,
right. And they were pushing to have it be the capital over Denver.
Oh.
And then they lost all the town went boom on silver and a bunch of other stuff. And then they lost all, basically they mined it all out.
Oh.
And then the population went from like 100,000 people in 1870 to like, there's maybe 12,000 people now.
Oh, wow.
But then I'm like driving, so I'm like, that's so cool. I went through the city. It was at one point, people were like, this is going to be a fucking city.
This is the shit.
And then,
they
had their claim to fame are things like Doc Holliday shot someone to death, and they basically found him innocent because everyone was like so celebrity culture has been so strong in America for so long. They're like, Doc Holliday murdered one of us. This is great. Let him go.
Hey, he murdered on the Fifth Avenue.
Yeah. So I just love finding out stuff like that where I'm like, I wish I would have known before I drove through because I didn't stop in Leadville. I'm just like, what are these fucking assholes that live here?
You could have gone to the Doc Holliday Museum where he murdered somebody.
It's great, too. Is there's like, there's four bars in town that claim that they are on the location where Doc Holliday. I'm like, so that's everyone's claim to fame?
Yeah.
Well, we're a hardware store now, but Doc Holliday murdered someone here. Like, did he? Okay.
Where? In the bathroom.
Yeah, yeah, it was
well, you can't
back.
Use it. It's only for employees.
They're all the descendants of the primary politicians of the day as well. Like,
That is a great advice because I think it is fun to like just don't plan anything. And I mean, have some plans.
Don't
but
stress yourself.
And if something happens, let it happen. Yeah. Because like you cannot change it. And yeah, like you said, some stuff that like it happens to me too. Sometimes I go through stuff and I'm like, yeah, but I'm never going to be here ever again. I mean, like, it's just like.
If you miss out on something because you're just experiencing what you experience, then you can always go back. If you really want to go see that thing, then you can go back.
Yeah. And also, don't worry about the things you miss out on and capitalize on the things that you're that you're in, that you participate in.
Yep. Just experience life and enjoy it. Yeah. I'm an angry person, and I hate almost everything, but I absolutely love hating everything. So it's like if I get angry, like when I was in England and it was so hot, I'm just like, this is fucking miserable. But when I look back, I'm like, I had a really fun time being miserable.
But also, if I'm happy, if I'm having a good time, I hate it when I'm with somebody or some people who are like, we have to get to the other thing that we said we'd be at. And I'm like, no, the thing we're doing now is good.
Yeah.
I'm happy here. I can do this for another hour. And like, but we said I'm like,
we don't need to
stay.
Why did we say we had to go to France? Yeah. I want to be here.
By the way, you say you're an angry person, but I think you're like a happy, angry person. Like, I don't think you're like...
Maybe it's because he gets it out in the right medium.
I don't know, but I just don't see... Like, I met, you know, Rick for a while now. I mean, I worked here and he was here. And like, he's never come to me, across to me as like miserable or like a bad energy, you know what I mean? Like, you see some people, you're like, oh, this guy's like, I don't want to be near you.
Well, I'm polite, and I feel like I was raised right. I'm not a serial killer because I had good parents. Yeah. And I look at it like there's an old saying, I can't remember who said it, but it's, he ain't happy unless he ain't happy. Mm. And that's kind of how I am. Like, I really embrace misery,
you've
got the British and I enjoy it.
You've got you've got the British attitude in you.
Well, you know, I come from British lineage, so
that'll do it.
It must just be a part of me where I'm...
Yeah, but it's you're like a happy, I don't know, like a happy, angry guy. Like, I think that's one of the reasons that people like you when you perform, because you're like, even if you're angry, you're like funny angry, so it's like it doesn't come across as like... Because there's some people, and that's a thing that you were born with. Because there's some people that could do the same thing to him, but like, nah, you're coming across as like crazy, like chill.
Yeah, I don't, you know, my goal is to never be a douche, but, you know, I feel like as long as I follow that path, like I can say mean things to people. Yeah. They know I'm joking.
Yeah.
When I'm on stage, I hope people understand as a comedian at a comedy club. Not to take things I say
seriously.
As if I'm just like, this is truly how I feel. Yeah. Like when I rip on Canadians, they generally get that it's funny to make fun of Canadians. Yeah. It's like no one on earth really hates Canadians, but it's fun to do it. And you can do that with any group of people. Most people are pretty cool about it as long as they can tell that you're joking.
Hey, man, even in Canada, we do it from west to east. BC makes fun of the rest of Canada,
right?
And so on and so forth, all the way down until you get to the I'm from Nova Scotia, and we make fun of the Newfoundlanders,
right?
And then we're done. Newfoundland's.
That's it. And then you got Greenland. that's the only way for the hate to go.
Yeah, so ours flows west.
Thank you very much for joining us, man. We really appreciate it. Hopefully, we can bring you back and finish the rest of the other questions that we have. And
definitely,
thanks
looking
very
forward
much,
to
man.
Seeing your set upstairs.
Thanks,
it's gonna
man.
Be awesome, man.
Well, guys, as you have to follow him on Instagram and also his podcast, listen to his podcast as well. And also remember to subscribe to Standby Podcast. And if you have any questions, remember to send it to us, you know, comment us, you know, right?
Yeah, you got it. Click on all the buttons, do the things.
Cool. All right, guys. Bye. Aloha.